I'd like to talk this morning about a subject that probably affects us all. Some of us are probably better at it than others. But I'd like to talk about contentment. Contentment. The dictionary definition of that is simply a state of happiness and satisfaction. I actually think it's a little deeper than that in a Christian, from the Christian or from a spiritual perspective. But it is, like I said, that state of peace and satisfaction. A little deeper than that is that it is the foundation or the root of it. The way we will attain to it and have it is by faith and trust in God. That's how we will get the true contentment God is wanting from us. It's not just simply being happy with what you have, but it is more than that. It is a calm, settled peace of mind that finds joy and gratitude in the things of life, regardless of circumstances. That's contentment. Regardless of circumstances. It's that settled heart. You're not anxious. You're not upset. Just simply content. Content. Now, there's different states of contentment. I'll talk about those a little later, but it is more than just happiness. It is solid, continuous, true, biblical, scriptural, spiritual contentment is a solid thing that is, it doesn't ebb and flow. I am content. And like I said already, its foundation or root is faith. And it's because, the reason I say that is because it's because of God's sovereignty and His goodness and His steadiness is why we can have it. True biblical spiritual contentment. Not discontent. I suppose we could almost say it's the opposite of greed and anxiety. Contentment is the opposite of greed, I want more, or anxiety, I'm nervous about what's going to happen, I'm concerned, and I'm not at rest. Again, that's why the state of being content is at rest, the settled mind. It is also something that doesn't just, it's not just a gift that God gives us. It is a virtue that is learned. I learn how to be content. It doesn't come natural necessarily. Now, I grant you, and I would say the same thing of myself, that when the circumstances are right and nice, it's a lot easier to be content. But it is something that we learn how to do. We make a decision whether I will be content with what I have or discontent. A virtue that is learned. And last of all, in this aspect of it at any rate, it is not dependent on circumstances. It's when we are either facing hardship, or even abundance, we will find contentment through our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we will find contentment. Without that relationship, without that trust, without that faith, without that belief, we will always be wondering what's going to happen next. And it's easier when things are easy, but it is so important that if we find ourselves discontent, if we'll look back in our heart and our life, and I expect we'll have to say that I have not put my trust in Christ like I should if I find myself at a place of discontentment. And there may need to be some explanation of that, and I will do that after a bit here. Paul, I have several scriptures here I'd like to go through. Paul, and you probably have all thought of this one already, he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For," he says, "I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And he says, and this is the key for why he can do this. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's why he can say that. So I want you to, as we talk through this, as we go through this, to consider your security in Christ. Because I'll say it again before it's all done, that this contentment we're talking about, that the scriptures talk about, that God wants us to have, that if we don't have, it at least approaches sin. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Hebrews says, "Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness," without desiring something that's not yours to have, without desiring something that is somebody else's. "Let your life be free of that, free of any covetousness at all. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said," and again, we're coming back to God's provision for us, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You can trust me. You can trust me. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. We all know, absolutely want to be godly. Absolutely. We don't want to be ungodly. It's our, not only our responsibility, but it's what should flow out of us, godliness. But he adds something in here that says you can put these two together and you're going to really gain a lot. And that's contentment. Godliness being, you know, you love the Lord and you are born again and you don't steal and you're kind and you love and you're gentle and you're forgiving, and that's all godliness. With contentment is when we really can grow. And he goes on there and says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out." Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure, if you're content with your treasure, your heart will be content also. He also says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I am content. I am at peace. I am settled. I'd like to look at a psalm that we all know well. As I was studying for this, I realized, you know, that thing is talking about contentment. Psalm 23 is talking about contentment. David very clearly says, my father-in-law used to say it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I am content. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because I am content. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He gives me a place to rest and be satisfied, taken care of. That's who God is. That's who our shepherd is. You know, probably all of us have something that we could say, maybe not, I don't know. You've probably all been through something that you could say, I'll be glad when this is through and I'm over this. Well, I don't fault anybody for that. But at the same time, if God allows it, He doesn't play games with people. He allowed it, whatever it is. You could learn something. He wants to teach you something. There's something to learn in the adversities of life. He says, he gives me a place to rest. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He gives me assurance. He restores my soul. He gives me assurance. I don't have to wonder, where is God? I don't have to wonder, will I be taken care of? I don't have to wonder, as he restores my soul, as David says, he gives him a settled peace of contentment. I believe he does. I believe that's what David's saying. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his sake. Our contentment, our willingness to accept what God gives us, it's good for us. But God wants to see us accept it. Say, it's okay, Lord. Thank you for what you've given me, for what you have allowed. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though I have to go through the hardest of circumstances, the hard things, the shadow of death, I still trust you that I will not be destroyed. Maybe physically, but not spiritually. I have the consolation of knowing that you, Lord, are able to bring me through the most trying circumstances. I have the confidence. That's what David says here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I'm not afraid of evil. Not only because I know God is greater than that, but because God doesn't, he doesn't tempt us with evil. That's what James says. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Even in the presence of circumstances that are not comfortable, hard circumstances, I will receive blessings from you. Even blessings more than I can understand. That's the promise we have. And all depends upon my heart, my attitude towards my God, my faith, my trust. These things are that we are called to go through sometimes. They're difficult for the flesh. But thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table. She already did that one. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can trust him to give me only that which is good for me. And his mercy and his goodness will still be with me. I can and will have my safety, His protection forever. I am content because He is my shepherd. Jesus said one place, He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Take heed and beware of discontentment. Take heed and beware of not being happy or satisfied with what is your lot. I think it's a big calling, but I'm not sure that it's a wrong calling. Sure, things are hard, and we cry sometimes, and we sigh. That's the flesh. But down in our spirit, that's what I'm talking about, down in our spirit, can we find a settled peace, a contentment, knowing God is in control, it's okay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the kingdom of God, it's different than the kingdom of the world, obviously. It's different in lots of ways. But in one aspect of it, it's different because in the kingdom of the world, abundance or nice and easy things, that's coveted, that's desired. In the kingdom of God, it's not the way it is. I grow more. I learn more. When I have to make the decision, because it's a virtue, I can learn. When I have to make the decision, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm content. I grow more, and that's what God wants from us. He's not out here trying to see how hard He can make it for us. He can allow hard things to come, but the intention is always that we would grow from it, learn from it. Contentment. Contentment. That place where it is just simply I am content. I read a quote. It says, to be content makes poor men rich. To be discontent makes rich men poor. However you want to look at it, money is not an issue, but at the same time, if that's our well, just the things of life. If I am content with what I have, I can be rich. Another quote says, if I can remember it, I think I have it down here somewhere. I'll get to it. Now, you may say, well, okay, but contentment, isn't there a place to be discontent? And I'm going to tell you, I think there is. But I'm going to explain that. There is a place for what I'm going to call healthy contentment. Healthy contentment is probably what we've all been thinking of as we've walked through this so far. Healthy contentment, I'll describe it this way. It's satisfied, but yet not willing to stay when I could grow. Stay at this place when I could grow or could learn. I could be more productive. Satisfied where I am, but yet not willing to just stay there, just be that way. That is, I'm going to call healthy contentment. Satisfied, and then you put grow. There is a place, I believe, we could say, where there is unhealthy contentment. Unhealthy contentment. I'll just do a ditto mark there. Unhealthy contentment is the opposite of healthy contentment. It is opposite in a way. It is, I'm going to use the word complacent. Unhealthy contentment is complacent, not caring if you improve or do anything better or don't grow any. Complacent. Okay? Now, we have healthy discontentment, and that is, healthy discontentment is healthy, no, this is dis, right? No, that's not right. Healthy discontentment. Healthy discontentment is this. Healthy discontentment. Dissatisfied with your current situation, but dissatisfied in the way that encourages you to make changes for the better and improvement. Healthy discontentment. You're encouraged to make changes. Now we have unhealthy discontentment. Discontentment. This kind of unhealthy discontentment, it leads to negativity, envy, and unthankfulness. Unhealthy discontentment. Negative. And unthankful. Yeah, here's that quote I was thinking of. Thankfulness turns what I have into enough. Thankfulness turns what I have into enough. I don't have to try for any more. I'm thankful for what I have. And this is enough. The secret to contentment is what I wrote here. I'll just read it. Often lies in shifting your focus from what you lack to what you have and finding fulfillment in the present moment and in your relationship with God. When our relationship with God is proper, when we have that clear relationship, we know Jesus and He knows us, and we are walking in truth, we're living in the light, we are accepted. When we have that, that's the secret to true contentment. It involves gratitude, appreciating what you've been given, and recognizing that true contentment isn't found in material possessions or external achievements, but in the heart. Contentment. Solomon says this. He says, and this is largely his focus, not entirely, in Ecclesiastes. He says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." He learned that. He learned that just because you want something and you want more, so you get more and you get more and you get more, it's a never-ending thing. I want more, I want more, I want more. It just doesn't end. He said, "This is also vanity." Now, there are some benefits to being content, obviously. I'm going to give you some of these based on the scriptures. In Psalms 107:9, he says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." He is a key here. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's that healthy discontentment. I'm still longing. I want more. I want to be more consistent. I want to be more prayerful. I want to be more holy. I want to be more so that what flows out of me is just all, it's just godly. It's holy. all the time. Psalm says, He, God, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He is our fulfillment. That's number one. Number two, contentment brings peace and fulfillment. Jesus said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus promises fulfillment. I know these are kind of basic things, but my point is twofold. I want to encourage me and us, you, that contentment is not a little thing. It's a choice I have to make. And we're either in right standing with God in the contentment or not. And it's all by the way how much we put our trust and our confidence in Jesus Christ. If you find yourself being discontent and just I don't like this. I said this before, but I'll say it again. Look back at your heart. Is it really trusting God? Number three, what contentment will do. The benefit of contentment is in Psalms. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. When we have that Holy Spirit living within us, when we have that abhorrence to discontentment, when we have that love of contentment, when we're willing to say, I am satisfied, I am content, and allow him to guide us, we will be strengthened by him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I don't know if it's the Lord delighting in his way or if it's me delighting in the way. I think both fit. He delighteth in his way. Probably it's talking about the Lord, but I think I can say that when my steps are ordered by the Lord, I am delighting in this way if I am content. Number four, another benefit of contentment. Again, this is based on Psalms 103, verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies when I am content. You may wonder, why don't I feel at peace? Why am I not at rest? Maybe there's something in your heart that just simply you want more of something, you're not satisfied with something, and maybe it's a holy dissatisfaction, maybe it's a healthy discontentment, but he redeemeth thy life from destruction. And also in Psalm 63, he says, My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He redeems me. He gives me satisfaction with much appreciation. Number five, a benefit of being content, it is a satisfying rest. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, but he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. When I have my relationship right with my Lord, and I am content, when I have honored the Lord in all my life, with especially in this area of contentment, and I have that fear of God in my heart, it makes me, gives me life. There are some things that become obstacles in our pathway of contentment. There are some things that just make it harder. There are some obstacles there. I'm just going to name a couple. One is comparison. When I compare myself with others, and Paul says that's not wise to do, when I do that, I breed in my own heart, an attitude of, I don't like this. I'm not, of discontentment. When I compare myself or I look at my life and my circumstances, and then I look at somebody else's and say, how come theirs is so easy and mine's so hard? Or I might even think, it's hardly fair. I didn't do anything wrong, and he did a lot of things wrong. It's not fair. That's a good way to destroy being content. Another one is worry or a lack of trust. Jesus said, therefore he said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But he says this, and again, it's the relationship, it's that trust, that dependency, that faith. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I mean, if I was to tell you, if you'd never heard this before, you would say, that's amazing. Well, it still is. Now, granted, there would need to be some explanation to that. But from our perspective now, in the kingdom of God, he says, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. Don't worry about that. Just seek my kingdom first. What do I want? Look for that. What is my heart? You read it in my word. What do I want from you? Do that. He goes on and says, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we have comparison. We have worry or lack of trust. Another one is, and I think this is probably the biggest one, a lack of confidence of who I am in Christ. A lack of confidence of who I am in Christ. I realize we can take that too far, and we can be saved and not be saved. We can just say, I made my commitment, and I'm believing. I know he died on the cross for me, and yet my life is not showing the fruits of a spiritual life, of a holy, godly life. But when I know and I believe what he says about me and my relationship and my position in him, I think I talked about this last time. When I realize my position in him is secure, I can fall away. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, it's not, I cannot do something good enough to be justified. I trust his blood, through his grace, through faith in that, I have life. And when I have that, I can be content because I can trust him. It's okay. It's okay. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And I'm going to re-quote again Psalm 107. He says, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. True contentment, the way God wants it to be, true contentment is worship of the Almighty God, the Almighty Creator, the Almighty Sustainer of his creation. True contentment is worship. I'm satisfied. There's a place, the healthy contentment, unhealthy contentment, healthy discontentment, unhealthy discontentment. There's all aspects of contentment. There's a place for us to say, well, what am I supposed to do about this? I'm supposed to be content, but I'm not. I think you have to decide, is my own heart yearning for something that God has not given me, that is not mine to have, or not? I want to read you a poem about a man that found his sufficiency in Christ. And, well, I'll just read it to you. The title of it is Just Checking In. A minister passing through his church in the middle of the day decided to pause by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then, the back door opened. A man came down the aisle, and the minister frowned as he saw that man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was kind of shabby, and his coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt. He bowed his head, then rose and walked away. In the days that followed, each noontime came this chap, each time he knelt just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. Well, the minister's suspicion grew. With robbery, a main fear, he started to stop the man and ask him, "What are you doing here?" The old man said he worked down the road. Lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. I stay only moments, see, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is Jim checking in. The minister felt foolish, told Jim that was fine. He told the man he was welcome to come to pray just any time. Time to go, Jim smiled and said thanks. He hurried to the door. The minister knelt at the altar. He'd never done it before. His cold heart smelted, warmed with love, and met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed in his heart, he repeated old Jim's prayer. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is me checking in. Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Jim hadn't come. As more days passed without Jim, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Jim was with them, he brought changes in the ward. His smiles, a joy contagious, changed people, were his reward. The head nurse didn't understand why Jim was so glad when no flowers, calls, or cards came, not a visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed. He voiced the nurse's concern. No friends came to show how they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Jim spoke up, and with a winsome smile, "The nurse is wrong." She couldn't know that in here all the while, every day at noon, he's here. A dear friend of mine, you see, he sits right down, takes my hand, leans over and says to me, I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and it took away your sin. I always love to hear you pray. I think about you every day. And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in. Old Jim, I think he knew how to find contentment. I think he did. He found his sufficiency in Christ. I'm not advocating not to have any friends. I am advocating that we find our sufficiency in Christ. And we'll be surprised that anybody thinks we might be discontent. Old Jim was. But he didn't blame anybody because you can't see him. But there he was in that hospital ward. Changed the ward because of his relationship. Because he knew what it meant to trust the Lord. He was happy. I cannot tell you that I have learned full contentment. But I can tell you, and I think you know it too, I know what it feels like to kneel down and have peace in my heart. And I can say, I used to say this more than I have lately. It may be because of lack of faith, lack of trust, I don't know. I used to say, anything, Lord, anything. The Lord has brought some trials in my life. I don't know if it's because of that or not. But I think that's kind of the attitude I think I'm talking about. Anything, Lord, anything. Let's kneel for prayer. I don't know how it is for everybody, Lord. I know it's this way for me a little. To say anything, Lord, anything. In my flesh, it feels maybe a little scary sometimes. Father, that's because of my lack of trust. I pray, Father, that for me and for anybody else here, they're a little scared to say anything, Lord, anything. Father, we pray for the grace for all of us that we might accept whatever you give, whatever you withhold as a blessing from you. So, Lord, here we are. We're not bigger than you. We're not able to supply our needs. We're not able to be who we should be, can be, who you want us to be, without you and your blessing, without you and your grace. And so, Father, while we pray that, anything, Lord, anything, we pray for grace. We pray for power, and Father, I know that you'll give it. And we thank you for that. We do pray, though, Father, too, for safety and protection. We do that a lot, you know that. And yet at the same time, Father, we trust you. We ask you to forgive us if we don't and where we don't. And to make that commitment, to learn that virtue of trust, to be able to give you complete control over our lives. May your kingdom come and your will be done in us like it is in heaven. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.